I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Daryl Ryder in 20 minutes who, well, he got me pretty damn good, didn't he? Back on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, let me have it.
Some people felt bad for you. They did not like that you got attacked.
I said, guys, I wouldn't post it if I didn't think it was funny. I wouldn't have laughed if I didn't think it was funny. I liked it. It was very funny. I love Daryl. We love Daryl. Lima and I both love Daryl. Ken Wyman going to join us. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore coming up at 9. You might say, why? Are you guys doing that Justin Tucker thing? Well, maybe. Who the hell knows? But really, we're doing the Jarvis Landry thing because it seems that Jarvis Landry may very well sign with the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I've seen a bunch of tweets that I thought that he was signing with them. Like, it was confirmed. Nothing's been confirmed. He hasn't actually signed anything yet, correct? Correct. Correct, 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 correct. So there you go. We'll talk about that with Ken Wyman coming up at 9. You and I kind of stumbled into this about, and I know Chris Paul's family got hands put on them. We'll talk about that coming up at 8:45. You and I kind of stumbled into this about Jadeveon Clowney. And I guess earlier this morning, there was an article. Was there an article from ESPN, or was there something there from Breer, or what was it?
Jeremy Fowler,
thank you, that said that Jadeveon Clowney could sign with the Browns as early as this week.
Here is the actual phrasing of it. It says, adding a few defensive linemen in the draft, Alex Wright in the third round, Winfrey in the fourth, Isaiah Thomas in the seventh, does not preclude the Browns from re-signing edge rusher Jadeveon Clowney as early as this week. Those talks are ongoing. Cleveland's still in play. I hope Cleveland's in play. If we're not in play, I'd be very nervous.
Yeah, I'd imagine they're the first ones there.
If they don't get Clowney, it's a big deal. It is a huge deal if they don't get Jadeveon. I've just assumed they had him.
I just don't think it's as big a deal as you make it out to be. Well, explain to me why it's a big deal. Maybe I'm being a little bit too rose-colored glasses.
Because even with Clowney, their line was a lot better last year, but even with Clowney, and remember they had Malik McDowell.
They got sieved a couple times.
They also have Tag McKinley. They still couldn't get off the field on a lot of third downs. You take Clowney out of that, they are a pedestrian defensive line, even with Myles Garrett, because every team needs to have a dominant defensive line and a dominant pass rusher now. So Myles Garrett, as good as he is, does not save the entire line. We've seen that. We've seen how many games that he has been dominant getting to the quarterback. You know, getting his 1 to 2 sacks every game, yes. And it's not close to enough.
I thought that was the biggest problem over the first few years of his career. Over the last 2 years, you had Olivier Vernon, who was able to play well and then got hurt. It's a shame because he was really playing well there. And then Jadeveon Clowney. But the first few years, yeah, I know, he hit a guy over the head with his own helmet. So that hurts as well. But I think there was a little bit too much put on Miles because you're starting for a team that's not good at all. There's no real talent around you. So we expect you to be Lawrence Taylor every single play, and you just can't do it. Lawrence Taylor wasn't Lawrence Taylor every single play. We just watch highlights and think that he was that way on every single play. Greatest to ever do it, but still, that's a high billing to put himself up
against. Yeah, I think Aaron Donald does it on every play. He is one of the few where...
Didn't Pro Football Focus or somebody say he's say not whatever, as good with that? Or
they can say whatever they want. I watched them in the playoffs. It was every play.
It was either him or... I think it might have been TJ Watt that they say, hey, really, this guy sucks and you guys just don't even know it. I'm like, what? Hold on now. I like to have a lot of fun and mess with Steelers fans as much as I can, but, I mean, what you're seeing is something great. I think something happened with even Aaron Donald where there was some weird metric. They're like, well, I mean, Aaron Donald is a Hall of Famer. Maybe Miles will be too. By
well,
the time
I think
it's
Aaron.
All
no, no, I think it's a different. I think Aaron Donald's going to go down in history as one of the best.
Very
ever.
Well, very well possible.
Like
yes.
I think Myles Garrett is on pace for Hall of Fame career, but no, Aaron Donald's on another level.
Well, if you're a Hall of Famer, aren't you one of the best to ever do it?
No, not anymore.
What?
It's been watered down. There's so many, especially
the NFL, especially, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is watered down.
The same Hall of Fame we're talking about, Philip Rivers maybe getting in. Yes, he's not one of the
best
to ever do it.
That's a maybe. Is
Eli Manning? Eli Manning's not one of the best to ever do it. Not even close. Not even close. Yes, yeah, so it's been
he's
watered down.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
that's not
we're talking about two different things. There are guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and there are the guys the best to ever do it. I mean,
well,
the
there
best
are certain
in
guys
class.
In the Hall of Fame that are better than anybody else. But using the term
that's
watered down is a little strong.
Yeah, I think Aaron Donald's playing a different game than everybody else. Even the Bosas, who I love, even Watt, even Garrett. I think he's on a different level.
All right, I don't want to bog it down, but now I have to scratch the itch.
Do people disagree with this?
No, I'm not disagreeing with this at all. I'm not disagreeing with it, but. It's the Hall of Fame. Yes, there's going to be, like, if Jim Brown's the greatest running back ever, you can't just not allow any other running backs in because, well, you're watering it down. That's not watering it down. There's other really good players that are allowed in.
Just by definition alone, the Hall of Fame's going to get a lot bigger over time. Yes, there's going to be way more players. It's going to, by definition, water it down. But we still know who the best to ever do it at certain positions.
Okay.
And not every Hall of Famer is automatically on the same level. Nobody
Should they have
that.
A different spot in Canton, best to ever do it room?
I just think we know who the best to ever do it is at a lot of these positions.
Aaron Donald is one, and then Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, and maybe one more, 1A or 1B. How's that work? Yeah. But there's like Aaron Donald and then like a notch and then everybody else.
Do they even play the same position?
Oh, that's an argument. I don't know. They do not. I mean, they've bumped Myles Garrett in a few times, but not like Aaron Donald. I mean, either way, sorry.
Oh, if Myles Garrett could do what Aaron Donald does, they'd have him at that same position and run the same scheme. They'd be like, well, if he can wreck shop on every single play the way Aaron Donald does, that's why Aaron Donald's in a category all by himself.
So Jadeveon Clowney. That's my fault. Jadeveon Clowney.
Wait, we're not getting Aaron Donald?
No, we're not getting Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, is he returning this year? Because when he discussed in retirement?
Yeah, he's returning.
Damn it, we're getting bogged down. Jadeveon Clowney. If they were to miss out on Jadeveon Clowney somehow, I'd be surprised. I don't know if I'd be crestfallen. Like, depending on the contract, if he got a 3-year deal from like the Jets or something like that, I go, well... The Jets are going to jet. That's what the Jets do. But if he got a 1-year deal somewhere else, I might go, well, are we all in or what are we doing here? Because it seems like we're all in. And if you have, what is it, $28 million in cap space? Like, I'm not concerned that Jadeveon Clowney hasn't signed yet. And I haven't been concerned that Jadeveon Clowney hasn't signed yet. I just don't want to write it in pen that, oh, yeah, he's coming back. Because we don't know. These guys are their own men and they're free agents and they can make up their own minds and minds tend to change very, very quickly. That's my entire thought of Jadeveon Clowney. Does the defense need Jadeveon Clowney at any cost? They would like Jadeveon Clowney, but I don't know if they need him by anything. Like, need.
No, I think
like
they need
he has
him.
To be here?
I think they need him.
Well,
I think offer him
a little bit more money and just bring him in. And just make sure it's done. If you really feel that strongly about it,
I mean,
fine.
Maybe they, again, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on this. They obviously knew how to get him last year. And this year, it might just be that they already have agreed on this and they're waiting, and for whatever reason. I'm just saying, if they don't end up with him, it's a huge failure by the organization. I think it'd be a huge miss.
Let's go to Matt in Twinsburg. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I want to make a quick comment to kind of save my boy Miles real quick.
Oh.
All right. Aaron Donald is a beast, for sure. But if you ask him to play twice as much time, is he going to have that same juice every game, all game?
Lima, answer the question.
Yeah, I've seen him have all the juice in the world. I've watched him dominate the play. Like, what are we talking about here? Did we not all just watch Aaron Donald?
But Matt, no one's putting down Myles Garrett. Aaron
Donald. No, Miles is one of the best in the game. I just don't think he's on a level of Aaron Donald, and that's okay.
But that Rams offense allowed Aaron Donald to take some breath. How many times do we see the Browns go 3-and-out, Miles back out there?
Well, this last year, very many times. Many times. To a point of strong frustration. Matt, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, second half of 2020, the offense was dominating.
He was also doing it when Jared Goff was the quarterback, too. It's not like it was, well, last year was the year that he's been doing this.
Guys, I didn't mean to get this started. I really did not mean to get this whole argument started.
Show now. Mark it down.
I didn't know anybody disagreed with me until you just did. That he was on another level.
No, I did not.
And then you had some weird opinion that every Hall of Famer is on the same plane and had an equal skill. Equal talent.
No, you said it was watered down, and I disagreed with you. I did not think the Football Hall of Fame is watered down. That's what we talked about. That's exactly what we said 30 seconds ago. You said it was watered down. I disagreed with that. I didn't say they were all on the same plane. In fact, I said emphatically twice during the argument that they're not on the same plane, that they're the best to ever do it,
then we agree,
and that they're the best of the best to ever do it. So there was no – don't you put words in my mouth. That's not what I said. It's not what I said.
You just acted so stunned when I said what I thought everybody agreed with universally, that Aaron Donald is in his own category.
I really don't think I did.
Like, people are looking at that as a slight against Miles.
I did not think
guys,
I was
just because we have
stunned.
Good players does that not mean we have to say they're the best. Like, we overvalue players. Every town does. But we overvalue players all the time
in
this town.
Yeah, where have you been?
But I'm the one arguing with these people that overvalue them every time. Like, we're now making it sound like Amari Cooper is like a number one. He's never been this dominant number one wide receiver.
He was up there with the Raiders.
Was Jarvis Landry when he had 115 catches 1 year for the Dolphins? Has Amari ever had a season like that?
With the Dolphins, I think Jarvis was. I think Amari's had some really good seasons.
He has.
Lord almighty.
So have 40 other good wide receivers.
So defensive over Aaron Donald, of all things.
I wasn't. You were acting like you were shocked when I put him in a different category as Myles Garrett.
On my kids, man, I swear I wasn't. I swear I was not shocked. I wasn't. If I came off that way, I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that.
So, but we all are in agreement. Aaron Donald is the best, right?
I mean, arguably, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Is Jadeveon Clowney going to be a Cleveland Brown by the end of the week? Let's ask Daryl Ryder. That next on The Fan. Chris Paul almost went Liam Neeson last night. We'll talk about that. Fans are going to disagree. At least listeners are going to disagree about the fan conduct. We'll get
How
to
many
that
more
up
incidents need to happen before
I change my mind?
You change your mind.
I don't know. We'll get to that coming up at 8:45. Also, 9 o'clock, we'll talk to our buddy Ken Wyman for a couple of minutes about Jarvis Landry possibly going to the Baltimore Ravens, what that would mean for them, what that would mean for us. Let's talk about all that right now with our good buddy Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shiven Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl, it's wonderful to hear you. First off, Jadeveon Clowney, could he be a Cleveland Brown by the end of the week? And second part, what's been the holdup?
Well, I think money, years, just the parameters of the contract, getting both sides to come together and agree. I don't think that the market was as robust as maybe Clowney had hoped. Remember, at the end of the season, he had talked about how healthy he was and how he was able to get through the year. His production was outstanding. But I don't think he was able to get what he wanted on the open market. How much that may or may not benefit the Browns remains to be seen. Look, the door's not closed on him coming back. Quite frankly, I think they need to bring him back because of some of the questions I have with that defensive line. I certainly would feel a lot better if they were able to re-sign him. I don't know how comfortable I would be, though, on a multi-year deal. I would want to do a one-year contract. But from Clowney's perspective, you know, his agent in representation has to be thinking multi-year because this I really think that Jadeveon left the season finale thinking in the back of his mind that this is an opportunity for him to maybe cash in one last time on the multi-year deal, and that obviously hasn't materialized for him.
Well, as more time goes by, did the Browns feel confident? I mean, there had to be some if he goes. Would that have changed maybe the draft if he would have been signed to a multi-year deal by somebody else?
Well, I think that as the time goes by, it seems like the odds of the Browns bringing him back seem to increase.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that because clearly he's not getting what he wanted on the open market. The other part of this too, and this isn't just a Jadeveon Clowney thing, this is an NFL thing, because there are a lot of recognizable names that are still available in free agency right now. And Kevin Stefanski talked about this last week on the station when he spoke with Jason Lloyd and Dustin Fox about, you know, some of these veterans, I think, realized over the last couple of years because of the pandemic wiping out that offseason program, Ken. I think some of these veterans are like, well, I don't really need to be doing this offseason program stuff because I'm doing my own thing on my own. And so maybe there just isn't a rush for guys to sign contracts and get into a offseason program or get to a mandatory veteran minicamp in June. I think there's a possibility that we could get into June and there'll still be some recognizable names yet to sign with teams. It wouldn't shock me in the least.
Well, there had been some discussion, Daryl, we're talking to Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, about, you know, guys being all in and guys showing up to things in the past. Every time sports talk radio hosts bring that up, fans go, who cares? Who cares? This stuff doesn't matter. Show up during the season. But there was some whispers that started to get a little louder last year that maybe there was a bit of a locker room culture thing going on and that not all the players were on the same page, that too many of the one-year contract guys, that might have become a problem, contaminating the locker room. So Deshaun Watson was there first thing. We all understand he kind of had to be. But is that something that can still have implications this year?
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said for the camaraderie and the team building exercise of the offseason program. I would agree that there is something there because, look, I mean, just going back to last year, Anthony, and remember some of the things that were said. Clearly, there were divisions within the locker room, right? It's plain mm-hmm. as day. And as we've gotten deeper into the offseason here, that just it becomes even more crystal clear. So, yeah, I think that there's something to be said that you can use your offseason program for, you know, some bonding, guys getting to know each other. You know, you talked about the one-year contracts, especially amongst defensive players, which sometimes tends to lead to guys looking out for themselves because they're trying to set themselves up for a better payday and a multi-year type of a situation come the offseason. And you have some of that. And then, of course, last year the offense wasn't performing well and doing their part. But on the flip side of that, Anthony, we saw the defense actually come together. The defense was playing lights out at the end of the year compared to how they started the year. So I think that the division wasn't so much within the defensive unit. The division came because the offense wasn't doing what they needed to do to help them win. And that, I think, kind of helped create some of that friction behind the scenes. But, and Kevin Stefanski's talked about this as well openly about because of the culture thing has come up. And how do you generate that camaraderie and make sure that guys are on the same page and you don't have cliques forming in the locker room and little things become big things that ultimately divide the team. And, you know, he's acknowledged that that is one of the focuses of the offseason program, making sure that, you know, guys not only do what they need to be doing on the field, but they enjoy being on the field together.
Daryl Ryder joining us here, brought to you by Schaben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You know, Daryl, for fans, when there's no longer a player on the team, we just move on. And we say, you know, he wasn't good enough for us, and that's
right.
It. And we've done that with Baker Mayfield, and we kind of gave a clean slate. Well, some have looked at Kevin Stefanski differently, but a lot of us have given a clean slate to Kevin Stefanski. Is it that way with the players, or will they? How quickly are they questioning him going into this season about his leadership? Because for us, it's like, well, we'll just put it on Baker. We'll put it on OBJ because they're the ones no longer here. What
right.
about Kevin?
Yeah, I think this is a big year for Kevin Stefanski because he's been given what he needed, and that's a Cadillac at quarterback, right? So he's got that in Deshaun Watson. They brought in a number one receiver in Amari Cooper. He's still loaded at running back. They franchise tagged David Njoku to keep him here. So how does he alter his offense and mold it to fit what Deshaun Watson does best? Because Deshaun Watson plays a little different than Baker Mayfield. There are some similarities, but Deshaun Watson is a different player than Baker Mayfield is. And so how does Kevin Stefanski exploit what Deshaun does so incredibly well on the field? So, yeah, this is a big year for Kevin Stefanski, not only just to show that he can be pliable as a head coach and he's willing to mold his program to fit the talents of his players. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do it and to show it. And I do believe that Stefanski is going to do that. Don't misunderstand me here. But to your point about it being an important year for him, it is because, you know, this team is still a playoff caliber team. I think that they need to get back to the playoffs this year, assuming that Deshaun Watson's available for all 17 games. They certainly, in my belief, have the talent to be able to do that. And again, Andrew Berry continues, and we've seen this in these three off seasons that he's been the general manager and top football executive of this organization. He's gone out and absolutely addressed problems with the roster each and every offseason, and he's done it here. Is this a perfect roster right now? No. I think there's still some questions on the defensive line and defensive end. We talked a little bit, about Jadeveon Clowney and potentially getting him back, and that obviously would make that situation a little better. Offense, you feel pretty good about everything. Maybe questions at the number two receiver, but they've drafted four receivers in the last three drafts. They clearly feel that Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz have room to grow into those roles, so maybe there isn't that sense of urgency in the building to bring in another wide receiver that maybe fans feel or media wants to talk about. But yeah, this is a very big year for Kevin Stefanski because he's got he's got a premier player at the quarterback position now.
Dale Ryer joining us on the hotline. We have some scheduled news that will come out here in just a second. But I want to ask you real quick. You brought up the wide receiver situation. And Donovan Peoples-Jones was a six-rounder. And he's really good for a six-rounder. I mean, to get anything out of a guy drafted at that point already that they've gotten is still pretty impressive. Right. While on the other hand, Schwartz just looks like a project and looked a little lost at times last year. Didn't help, obviously. What do you have, the concussion situation?
Yes, several weeks.
Yep. So I guess I'd ask, teams, you always run the risk, and this is something that is often attributed to GMs in every league, that they over-evaluate their own draft picks.
Right.
Should we be a little nervous right now that they're going to be relying heavily on two guys that, you know, maybe elsewhere on other teams wouldn't necessarily be in the mix as much as they will be here?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Anthony, and it's a pretty strong argument. On the flip side, the quarterback is now different too. So maybe that is changing the calculus in Andrew Berry's mind. Hey, I got a quarterback who I feel is a better player, and I upgraded that position. And by proxy, now my receivers are going to be able to perform better because I've upgraded the quarterback. But yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. My expectation is that David Bell ultimately is going to potentially, amongst these young receivers, these four young receivers, I think David Bell potentially could have the most impact. But we've seen Donovan Peoples-Jones, his ability to get behind defenses and blow the top off down the field. Now, can he do that on a regular and consistent basis and be a deep threat? Amari Cooper gives him that. So, and you hear all the time in relation to Amari, just what a precision route runner he is. So some of those things that we heard last year about timing routes, and this is a timing offense, and you have to be at a certain spot at a certain time, and things like that. Yeah, I can have those issues with an Amari Cooper, and you shouldn't have those issues now that you swapped out your quarterback and you brought in Deshaun Watson. So I think that that's what they're thinking. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There's always the risk that you have over-evaluated or put a premium evaluation on players that you either drafted or you brought in.
Daryl Ryder joining us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Hey, Daryl, what's the latest going on with Baker Mayfield?
Nothing.
All right, let me ask you this. Why do national pundits always think that he should be playing for the Cleveland Browns this year?
I don't know. I don't get it. They brought in three quarterbacks this offseason. I don't know that Andrew Berry could be any more crystal clear that they have moved on from Baker Mayfield. It's funny. I was looking at a depth chart last night on one of the national websites, and they had Baker Mayfield listed as the number two quarterback in front of Jacoby Brissett. And I was like, wait a minute, what? I had to check my eyes for a second. It's Deshaun Watson, the starter. Jacoby Brissett is the backup. Josh Dobbs is the third quarterback, and Baker Mayfield's a distant fourth. I don't know. You know, I get it. I understand the conversation, Ken, because it's what we do both locally and from a national perspective, and that's what it is. It's about keeping the conversation going with some of these nationals. Baker is good for ears and eyeballs and clicks and whatnot, and so they're kind of keeping that going by saying, yeah, there's an outside chance that Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback if something happens with Deshaun Watson. I'll say this. I think there's a better chance that I would be a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns if Deshaun Watson's not available than Baker Mayfield. They've made it crystal clear that they're moving on from him, and again, that's kind of part of the reason why Andrew Berry doesn't have a whole lot of leverage right now in trying to move on from Mayfield. But it's all about keeping that conversation going from the Nationals.
Darryl, let me be brutally honest here. I wasn't going to ask you that Baker Mayfield thing just yet, but I thought it was a misprint up here. The game's been announced for Monday night. At least a couple of the Monday night announcements have been made. They did this one, Good Morning America?
Yeah. Yes.
So 7:15 a.m. on the 19th of September, 7:15 p.m., Titans at Bills on ESPN, and then at 8:30, Vikings at Eagles on ABC. So they're going to have two games at once on Monday night.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. I don't like that.
I don't know. I would probably like it better if it was maybe a 7 o'clock kickoff and a 9:15 kickoff. This way you get to watch the end of the game of one, and then you get maybe into the second quarter of the nightcap. I like a traditional true doubleheader. One game ends, another one begins, but...
You know what, though? I can make a case for it in just that on Sundays, when we're watching the Browns, we are only watching the Browns, most of us. So that already eliminates so many teams that you don't get to see. At least in this case, I can flip back and forth, and there is a staggering here. There's a minute and 15 difference, so I'm going to be able to watch the end of one game and then go and see the end of another, and plus I'm not up all night. So I actually think that kind of makes sense for East Coast
viewers. West Coast, maybe not so much.
I
think the NFL's proven, though, especially during the COVID years, is that you can start a game whenever you want. People are going to watch and people are going to go. So I don't think that matters as much. I get what you're saying there, Anthony. It's more convenient for guys like you and I. But I think overall, like, I'd rather watch one game and be in the conversation, even with social media and everything. I'd rather watch one game at a time and be in the conversation with everybody during that game.
That's why the NFL right now is thinking the conversations that, hey, can we do a Black Friday game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or can we do a 2 o'clock Friday afternoon time slot for the league? Which I think would be terrible. That's just my view on that. But I really liked when they did the double headers. You had an East Coast game early, and then the late game was a West Coast game. This way, it was prime time out west, but you know later on the East. But yeah, but the good, pretty decent matchups. Titans Bills, I like that one, and Vikings Eagles should be a pretty good game. So two quality selections as far as picking the games. I would have liked the times to be more staggered. That's just my view.
We got rookie camp this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I'm not going to do it to you now. By Friday, I want a name of someone that we have to keep an eye on. A rookie we have to keep an eye on. I'm not going to do it to you now.
Okay.
Unless you want to, but I want a name. I want somebody to go, Ken, circle this name, watch this name.
I was just going to just take a ton of Cade York video this weekend for everybody.
No. That's too easy. That's too easy. I want the real deal. I want the big stuff. I want a position player. I want to be able to be told I'm keeping an eye on this guy for Friday. And somebody better remind me, because I'm definitely going to forget.
I'll make a note of it. How's that?
All right, Darryl. Thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a good one.
The sensational Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 216-578-0092. All right. Some good news on the Jadeveon Clowney front. Some not-so-good news on the Jarvis Landry front. We'll talk with Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan of Baltimore at 9.
And I wonder if people are a little off on the Browns' schedule and the prime time considerations that are going to be there, considering Deshaun Watson and some of the ambiguity on how many games he's going to play.
That's next on The Fan. What did you say about the national TV games there, Tone?
Well, so NFL, people are calling it a leak. It's not a leak if Joe Buck and Troy Aikman tell you
on Good Morning America.
On Good Morning America what the games are going to be. I don't think that qualifies as a leak. You know, like, Adrian Wojnarowski just came out and leaked who won the MVP, taking away from their own show on ESPN right. that would have that. I don't understand why he would do that. But that would be a leak. This is, hey, here is the MVP, or here are the games. Like, it's different. But anyway, there's two games, week two, a Monday night. One starts at 8:30. The other starts at, I don't know, it's been erased from the board. Was it 7?
7:15.
So there's an hour and 15
minutes
difference
yes.
from when they start. And I said, actually, that makes sense. Not only do you get uninterrupted football throughout, because once one game goes to halftime, the other game's on. Then when that game goes to halftime, the other game's on. So you switch to it, you'll see both fourth quarters, you'll see both right to the end, and you don't have to stay up all night. In the past, when they did the doubleheader for the week one, when it would be, you know, Mike and Mike doing the second game, that game wouldn't end till, what, 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning? East Coasters are not staying up for that. And the
it was a 10 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, the ratings showed that. There was a huge precipitous drop-off. Now, you get a full window of football for, instead of 3 hours and 10 minutes, you get 4 hours and 10 minutes.
I just think they could start the... Well, what time were you starting the second game? At 10, you said?
Back in the day, they did.
Well, way back in the day, they had one game that started at 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got that in before midnight, which is still a late night, don't get me wrong. I just feel it's the NFL. They can do whatever they want. They should start the game at 6. Who cares?
I think their numbers will show that the ratings would suffer with the 6 o'clock game. So this is the way the NFL is doing what they want.
I don't think
and
they...
And what they're doing is basing it on their numbers, and their numbers tell them that having 4 hours and a half of football straight through is going to do better ratings than moving up the kickoff time
of
the first game.
You're probably right, but I would say that the ratings... Would the ratings suffer what? An early start time would suffer where? On the West Coast?
Probably the West Coast, yeah.
So they would start at 3? I feel you got a better chance of making people get off work early than you do having them stay up late. Fighting sleep. Getting off early, that's fun.
But sure, but they're saying this is the best of both worlds, where people will go back and forth for 4.5 hours.
Plus, you're going, Minnesota is a central time,
yeah,
so that's a 7:30 game for them.
Yeah, I'm not Dick Ebersol. They're the ones who know what they're doing. I'm just saying it's prime time. It's like kind of like one game at a time. Everybody gets in the conversation. That's what it is, you know? That's the way it goes.
And I believe with the new TV deal, this is going to happen, what, 3 or 4 times?
Is it really? I didn't know
with
that.
ABC and ESPN.
We have a pandemic of this going on right now.
So, they have 3 doubleheaders?
Like, 8, yes, and the ABC exclusive games, which is what you see there. They're going to do this like 3 or 4 times.
I mean, compare that to your Sundays anyway. Your Sundays are kind of obnoxious when your team, especially if you're on the East Coast and your team plays at 1 o'clock most weeks, you miss out on so much football. We really do miss out. They've never staggered the times. They've never put, like, say, half the games at 1, half the games at 4. No, by the end of the year last year, there's like 11 games at 1 o'clock and 3 at 4, which never made sense.
They started mixing some things up, though, by the end of last year.
They need
to. Saturday games are back, so there's more emphasis on one game. Because college, they don't care. It's like everything starts at noon because half you ain't watching any of those games anyway. But in the NFL, I know they want more eyes on more games, so it would make sense to play some Saturday games after the college football because they're respectful of the college football stuff, which eventually they won't be someday. But they are more respectful of the college football. I've always wondered how much is too much football during the week, and I've never found that there is too much during the football season. I think there's too much during the calendar. I think spring football has proven that. Did you see they had that at USFL game on like Peacock Premium or something like that? There has to be like 3 people watching this thing.
No.
Like there's family members who aren't even paying to watch that.
This is going to turn out to be another swing and miss for spring football for an alternative.
I don't think probably because it's always something you can cancel if it's a giant television
show.
How
much are scouts watching this? How much attention are scouts in the NFL?
Maybe
because they said,
time.
Oh, this is another minor league. This is another way that they could accrue talent. How many guys are truly going to be plucked?
Maybe
from
not
this?
In real time, but they should be watching all the tape of all these guys just in case they need. They might have somebody they like. Maybe they
find
something.
Do you have
a
new USFL scout, or are you taking the guys with 2 weeks left to go before the draft and they're starting this?
Yeah, I mean, see, Ken, I heard somebody was talking about what happens. Maybe it was Lombardi talking about how things go with Belichick. And I'm sure it's not that different around the NFL. I think they all are doing variations of the same thing. But he said the minute the season ends, they might take off a week or whatever. But the minute the season ends, not only is Bill watching every game of every team, right? So it's just, we're going to work. Here it is. And I'm sure those are 15-hour days because you got to get through it because you got to do it before free agency. So you got to watch every game, grade every play, and every player. Now, they say Bill also likes to do this for college and build the board. I mean, there's only so many hours.
In the day, so in Alabama. And
you're telling me they're going to then go watch the USFL? No. I bet you they aren't.
I bet there's some
maybe
scouts.
Maybe they assign minor guys to it.
They have some guys there.
I don't think Bill Belichick is sitting there with the popcorn.
There's the entry-level scout that's trying to get in, and he goes, I found this guy.
If there's football being played, like Bill Belichick probably watches a lot of Alabama and a lot of Rutgers. He's always had an affinity for Rutgers players. But then after that, I think there's some scouts who are definitely watching the USFL and scouting for something like, hey, could this guy help us here or there? Could this guy get an invite to camp in July or whatever? That's where I think the USFL is. But I think, real quick, going back to what we were talking about, the appetite for football has shown that in certain months, late August through February, you kind of want to see football every day. I fight it like crazy. I like special Sundays and all that stuff, but
it's
no,
coming.
They don't care.
We're getting closer. And they're not even willing to share as much with college as they used to.
No.
I mean, remember that was, all right, we'll give you these allotted weeks and these weekends or whatever.
Bulk of our...
Eventually, well, now they're playing Christmas Day. They're taking on the NBA.
Remember, because when they had Christmas days, they switched it before. Now they don't even care. They go, whatever. We don't need to worry about you anymore. I mean, bulk of the series, dude, bulk of our lives, they've given Christmas Day to the NBA. Not anymore. They just take what they want. NCAA tournament, you can move your tournament back. Free agency is as crazy as it's ever been.
I'll ask you flat out at some point, and I wonder how fans would feel about this. At some point, are they just going to compete with college football and say, let's put two feature games on Saturdays? Hell, three. Let's go three. I would hate that. I would honestly hate that.
They still feel. I think any form of football the NFL feels is their minor league. Like, I think they watch USFL. I think there are people in the league office watching the USFL for the football and the chip and the football and all the other technological things that they're trying to do. And that's why they like some of those spring games, because they can do that and the NFL doesn't have to, and they can see if it works and they can just take it. Like two-point conversions and things like that from way back in the day with USFL. But with college football, I think they're very protective of that. And I think they really see that that's our league. College football is our type of thing. We will protect it as much as we can. But if they got to play a game on a Saturday, right up against ESPN Saturday night, they'll play the game.
When does the SEC leave CBS?
Two more years?
Like 2 years, I believe.
CBS goes, hey, we need something to do at night.
That's such a shame. I love the SEC.
That music.
I think that would be a crushing blow to college football.
What?
That would be really bad.
Yes.
I mean, imagine all of a sudden if the Browns are going up against, say, Ohio State, Wisconsin, that would suck. That would totally suck. I hope they never do that.
Coming up next, Ken Wyman going to join us on the show. Where's Jarvis Landry going to be? By the end of this sentence, might be in Baltimore. We'll talk about that. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.